Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
So grateful you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We are continuing our study in the book of Revelation. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Well, we have been looking at the principles of interpretation as we begin our study of this book. This is really important to lay some ground rules here as we study the book of Revelation. Because of the mass confusion regarding this book, the history of interpretation, what do we have? Revelation is a series of visions. And you are, if you will, entering into another dimension, transported into another world. Standing behind the scenes of history, looking at things from God's perspective, a heavenly perspective. And the reason this has been challenging for us is because it's describing our world with heavenly symbolic language. And that's the point. I said yesterday, this is the most important point in interpreting the book. There'll be others, but the meaning of Revelation depends on what type of language it is. And that's why we struggle with Revelation. Early Christians didn't so much because they understood what we call genres. They understood that this is apocalyptic literature, like Daniel, that there are different kinds of literature, different kinds of genres in writing. And so when we say, as I so commonly hear, and it's irresponsibly said, I just want to interpret the Bible literally, that always sounds pious. But what does interpreting apocalyptic literature literally sound like? How is that done? Well, that means you're saying I want to interpret it literally symbolic, because that's how Revelation explains things in signs or symbols, a connection of visions. So, for instance, a sharp two-edged sword coming out of Jesus's mouth is not a literal sword coming out of his belly. Someone who says, I want to read it literally, is saying something like that, and that's not what is being done. You mess up Revelation if you do that. It's like the Jehovah's Witnesses who want to read the 144,000 literally. That means you've excluded the kingdom to only 144,000 of Israel? Come on. That's not. Every number in Revelation is symbolic, beginning with the number 7, which is meant to be completeness or perfection. So when the sword comes out of Jesus's mouth, it's communicating something about his speech, for example. So what John is doing here is explaining history using symbolism. We're entering a world of symbols. Now here's the beauty of this. This is what the Lord does for his servants. And this is where we left off yesterday. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things which are written, for the time is near. Do you hear what he just did? He attached a blessing to those who read this book and hear this book, who give themselves to understand this book. He knew that people would view this book wrongly. He knew that people would see it as a scary book and think that it's unprofitable for the daily life of the church. And anyone who wants practical application really never thinks too much about the book of the Revelation. And God is saying that people are absolutely wrong about this book. The Lord is attaching a blessing to those who read this book, who hear this book, who study this book, who want to understand this book. He's encouraging us. Don't be afraid of this book, but listen to it, hear it. You know what that means, of course. That Revelation was intended to be read in the churches all the way through during worship. And the Lord was saying that the giving of the mind, which we just don't do today, the giving of the mind of this book, I'm attaching a blessing to that. He tells you what the blessing is. Since the time is upon us, since it's soon of Christ's return, those who give themselves to understand this book will be prepared. This is motivating us that the time is now. So the whole study has a very practical goal, that we would keep the things written in it because Christ is coming really soon. It's motivating us to be pure in our lives for our groom, who is coming really soon to take us as his bride to be with him. Now, why was this written? Verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. This book functions as a letter to the seven churches. So the book of Revelation was a circular letter to all the churches, but it was specifically addressed to these seven churches of Asia Minor, who represent all the churches of Jesus Christ. That's an important point. Christ himself has something to say to his churches. He knows the situations intimately of all of his churches, and he speaks individually to them of how they can be faithful as churches in their own settings as they wait to enter the New Jerusalem. So you essentially have seven contexts up front in these churches that introduce the rest of the book as the answer to their struggles. The context here is absolutely important. Revelation didn't just fall out of the sky. It came in a historical context. When was this book written? Well, it's been universally accepted. It's the universally accepted position that Revelation was written during the reign of Domitian in around AD 85 to 95. The author being the Apostle John. The churches of Christ in Asia Minor were just about to face one of the greatest persecutions for the faith. It would be an awful time of history for Christians. Persecution was impending. They had taken stands as Christians against idolatry, against pagan worship, and the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ in this Greco-Roman culture of a pantheon of other gods. But what was known as the second great persecution was upon them. Look, in the Roman Empire, the peoples were expected to worship the emperor as God. Sure, there was a pantheon of gods, but the sole right of worship was claimed by the emperor. And Domitian was one of the worst persecuting emperors. In fact, we know that he claimed divinity and was addressed as God and Lord. The hatred for the Christians was spreading like wildfire ever since Nero throughout the empire. Any calamity was blamed on them. In fact, you'll notice in verse 9, I, John, your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island of Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Patmos is a small island off the west coast of Asia Minor, and we have evidence today that it was a Roman prison settlement, kind of like San Francisco's Alcatraz. It was used for persons who were considered dangerous to the Roman good order. Christians were being banished to this island, and John himself was banished there, most likely by Domitian, for his refusal to worship and get involved in the emperor worship. Listen, you think we have it bad? We have no idea how bad it could get. I want everyone to imagine if our president claimed to be divine, demanded our worship, and if not, you would either be executed or banished away from your families to Guantanamo Bay. What do you think might start happening to Christians if we face this? I guarantee you the chaff will blow away really quickly. You have two things Revelation is addressing. You have two twin dangers. Now think of our setting. First, you had the affluent and prosperous churches facing these pressures and were about to really be tested. And you know what had happened? They were compromising into the system itself. And that is why you'll notice that some of Christ's messages to the seven churches are not encouraging. They are severe warnings. They were compromising the word of God. They would not listen to the word of God. Their practices in the churches had been so seduced away into the counterfeit form of religion, secularism, worldliness, that John likens their activity to worshiping the beast. We'll come back to that. This is so big in Revelation that what it's doing is constantly presenting symbols of how Satan is always working to counterfeit true Christianity. And the churches were completely ignorant to this. All these spiritual forces at work, and they are aimed at the churches who are the subject of address in this letter. The message of Christ in Revelation is saying very clearly, humanity is in this awful war. And your allegiance in the church, your very church, your allegiances are either to God or Satan. Remember, he's going to call one of these churches a synagogue of Satan. And so the worship of God, his holiness, purity, and separateness from all that is profane is a major focus of this book. The Lord is after undivided allegiance to God and to the Lamb. But the problem wasn't just with the unbelieving world. Revelation is addressing the churches, so-called Christians who were tolerating this stuff, who were being seduced away into idolatry and false teachings in the church. And so that all these vivid contrasts are given in Revelation to show how dangerous and how subtle the devil is in trying to seduce the church away into spiritual harlotry. Jesus is warning his church. The judgments in this book are not just going to be on the enemies of the Lord, but on the churches themselves. The churches themselves were in danger of this since they were joining the very pagan practices of their Roman neighbors. And they were allowing all sorts of false teachings, false worship into the church. Sheer compromise. Isn't this just an application today? You know, we're called to wage the warfare for the truth. What happens when everything is labeled Christian in a community and you can't criticize anything? You actually end up creating the lowest common denominator religion, which at the end of the day isn't Christianity because you've taken away its offense. What do you think Christ would say to the churches in Linden? What would Christ say to the Linden URC? What would Christ say to your church? That's what this book's going to be about. So this is about correcting and preserving the church and even to encourage the church who are standing for the truth and facing opposition and persecution that Christ is going to come. He will be victorious and he will deliver his bride. So it's a warning and an encouragement to the church. Be faithful unto death. I am the Lord, says the Lord. He stands above history. He is our Lord and our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Consummator. May we fall before the feet of Jesus Christ. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. LindenURC.com is the website. So grateful you've tuned in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.